Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Still the octave of Christmas. And happy feast of the Holy Family. The British statesman, 19th century statesman, Lord Acton, famously said, and we've all heard it, "All power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." All power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, this is a great insight. The insight is we're all victims of original sin. We're all fallen. And as a result, no one of us could pull the strings of power for very long before those very strings begin to pull us. That is, the same chains by which we might levy coercive power over others become the same chains that corrupt us and corrode us and turn us into monsters. Now, his insight is that in the realm of politics and the civil order, that type of coercive power that one human being often wields over another is not only coercive for the ones under that power, but even more, and here's the insight, it's corrupting to the ones who wield the power. Thus, Lord Acton and the entire liberal tradition advocates a system of divided powers, where power is divided amongst many individuals that check and balance each other. Now, although this classical liberal insight is the root of so many of our modern freedoms, it cannot be an absolute principle of the cosmos. So although it might indeed bear fruit in the political order, it cannot be a metaphysical principle of the whole cosmos. And why? But what about God? What about God's power? God is absolute. God has absolute power. Is God corrupted by his power? If absolute power corrupts absolutely, wouldn't this give us reason not to love God, but actually to fear him? To be afraid that he is a tyrant? Well, now the answer, of course, is no. We shouldn't fear God. But why? How do we know that we shouldn't fear God's power? Brothers and sisters, our Heavenly Father has built into the created world a type of power that mimics his own absolute power. There is a type of authority and power built into the created universe that not only mimics the absolute authority of God, but at the same time, instead of corrupting those who wield it, actually calls out from those who wield it acts of self-sacrifice, altruism, tender care, self-surrender that go beyond what they would ever be capable of on their own. In other words, there is a type of power in the universe that doesn't corrupt, but purifies. This power is found in the family. This authority is the authority of a father and a mother. This purifying and sanctifying authority is found most perfectly in the family. Now, this is the feast of the most holy family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. On this day, we celebrate the fact that our Lord and God came to us in human flesh, not as a regal potentate or a political ruler, but in a normal human family. Jesus shows us that the ordinary, humdrum routine of family life is the primary means by which human beings are to grow in holiness, learn to recognize God, and when they recognize him, learn to love him. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, comes to us by first submitting himself to the rule of a mother and a father in a family. He's obedient to his parents, showing us that this authority is not something to be feared or avoided, but is in fact a means by which God makes his own all-powerful providence visible on earth. So now, how does that work? In the family, we first learn to love something greater than ourselves. This is because the family is more than a mere sum of its parts. It is more than the sum total of the individuals that comprise it. No, the family is a whole. The family is one unit in itself, and it is a good of the whole that is lovable and desirable in itself. The family as a whole is a good precisely because it is a unit. And because it is a whole, it is loved by the individuals in it more than the individuals love themselves. The whole of the family is a good that is greater than the goodness of any one of the individuals within it. Theology calls this type of goodness a common good. A common good. And it is in the family that we first learn to love the common good. This is why mothers and fathers may indeed possess an authority over their children that would make Lord Acton blush. But yet, at the same time, this authority calls them to move out of love to self-sacrifice for something greater than themselves. In the family, we learn that we are made to love something other than ourselves. And by loving this something greater, we become greater. We are what we love. And when we love something greater than ourselves, when we love and sacrifice ourselves for something other than our own individual lives, we become greater. We don't lose ourselves, we actually find ourselves. And in finding ourselves, we find that we have become better people. In the family, we learn that we are made by love and for love. We learn that we are to be moved towards our own good, not by coercion or violence or force, but by love. Thus, the family is the world's primary icon of God's governance of the world. It is a governance of a loving father who teaches his children with care and love. This is why the very first commandment of the 10 that deals with our relationship with other people, the fourth commandment, tells us to honor father and mother. It's the very first commandment that deals with our relations in the world. And why? It's because in honoring father and mother, we most perfectly honor that fundamental relationship to God, our Heavenly Father. Listen closely to what the author of the book of Sirach tells us in today's reading. God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sins and preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. He stores up riches who reveres his mother. Whoever honors his father is gladdened with children. And when he prays, he is heard. Wow. End quote. Now, as we all know, human mothers and fathers are not perfect. Our own mothers and fathers are just as human as we are. Mothers and fathers so often fail to live up to their awesome calling. Since the family resembles the authority of God, it is no wonder that if family life is corrupted, it becomes so hurtful, so painful, so wounding. It's no wonder that in a fallen world, families are the source of so much pain. Of course they are. Families are the source of so much pain because they were built by God to be the icon of his own life. Now, if our own families are the source of pain, we might be tempted to look at God with suspicion. We might be tempted to think that God is an evil tyrant trying to coerce us. Brothers and sisters, this is a deception. Let us not fall for the trick and confuse the imperfect icon for the reality. And this is also why our families need to be redeemed. Our families need a redeemer. Our families need saving. They need Jesus to save them. Jesus redeems the family. The Holy Family redeems the family. Jesus calls family life back to the purity of its origin. This is why when the Pharisees approached Jesus and asked him about the breakup of families in their own day, Jesus simply responded, "From the beginning it was not so. From the beginning it was not so." Family life was meant to be harmonious. The breakup, the hurt, the pain, the deception, the deceit. This is not God's plan. Now, the call to family life is virtually impossible. It is virtually humanly impossible to live family life by our own strength. We need grace. We need God's help. This is why we need the sacrament of marriage to give families the grace that they need. And families need the sacrament of confession to find the healing that they need. Our Heavenly Father loves the family, and he loves to heal the family. And our society and our world will either rise or fall by way of the family. So, brothers and sisters, in conclusion, let us not fear our Heavenly Father. Our Father calls us to his own glorious family, and let's embrace that call. If our own families have hurt us, let me rephrase, when our own families hurt us, let us forgive. And if we have hurt our families, or again, when we hurt our families, let us swiftly ask for forgiveness. And let us pray to God for the grace to be better. Our God is a family of Trinitarian love. Let us live this love through our lives and through our families. Amen.